going to do something a little bit different today. It's called the Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We do that every first or second, depending on the year, Sunday in November, and have been doing that for nearly 20 years. We engage in that because we believe that God is asking us as the body of Christ to come alongside others. And so this morning there are some, there's nothing graphic in terms of pictures that will be seen, but there are some harsh, hard things to hear and some violence that's talked about. So kids and G56 or whatever and younger, that's certainly your parents and your call, but we just wanted to give you a heads up on all that. We're here today, though, to engage with the local church around the world, and be a church that's engaged besides something outside of ourselves. And, you know, when you think about what happens in our lives, there are these things that we call seminal moments. And a seminal moment is some experience in a particular point in time that has effect throughout all the rest of that time. So it affects the way you think or maybe the way you act. It affects the way you experience or maybe react to a circumstance. And you know, when you think about where we are as a world today, where we are as a country today, on Tuesday, we elect another president. And in the midst of that, also elect a lot of senators and congressmen as well. And as we do that, we understand as a nation that there have been multitudes of seminal moments for us as a nation. There have been moments of time where certain things happened that had lasting effects on us as a world, as a nation, as the United States of America. It began, maybe in some senses, in 1521 when Ponce de Leon hit the coast of Florida. It continued as a seminal moment in 1607 when Jamestown was brought forth as a community, as established as a community. And in 1619, when the first enslaved Africans arrived here, in 1776, when the Constitution the Declaration of Independence was declared. And then in 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation was made and the slaves were freed. How about in 1917 and earlier, when the U.S. entered World War I, the greatest of all wars, except for the greatest wars of all time in world history, 1940 to 45, World War II. The sexual revolution in the 60s, Roe v. Wade in 73, and then things like 9/11 in 2001, or the economic crash of 2008, and then the seminal moment of 2022 when Roe v. Wade was overturned. All these moments, right? All these moments are places for us to think about the way they expressed us, exposed us, moved us in history, the places they brought us to. And in all of those seminal moments, there were good and there were bad leaders who were leading in those times, every time. In all of those moments, there was morality and immorality. There was good and there was bad. There was strength and there was weakness. All these things that just kept going through these moments of time in our nation's history. But there was one thing to remember, that God was always and is always in charge. And so no matter what happens on Tuesday, no matter what party is elected on a local, state, or national level, no matter what person is leading in one form of government or another, God has not left his throne. God is in charge. And in fact, in this very significant strategic time in our country, we pray that God's will would be done. Now, it's not without merit. It's not without understanding to say that today is a strange time for us to pray for anyone but ourselves. But I'm going to ask us to do what God normally does ask us to do, is to step out of our comfort zone, to do something that's different maybe than what you would expect to see happen in a church on the days before an election, to pray for a country and for people that are outside of us. Today, you're going to enter into an experience where You have to work. I mean, a lot of times we come to church on a Sunday morning, and I know that we come to be moved by God. We come to express our worship to God. But literally, we can sit here and most Sundays engage when we want to hear a message or to listen to a song or to engage in that way on a minor level. But today, we're going to ask you to pray. You're going to be informed a lot about what's going on around the world, but we're going to ask you to pray. And we're going to ask you to pray because we believe that God can create a seminal moment in the lives of people who are in persecution and oppression around the world right now. That in the next hour, your prayers are not just words being offered up into a ceiling. That they're being offered to the God of the universe who will move on behalf of his people around the world. And that someone, somewhere around the world today will either experience a certain form of divine compassion, strength, or even protection because of what you prayed today. I'm asking you to believe that. I'm asking you to have the faith to understand and to believe that God will do something because of what you do this morning. That you will create a moment in someone's life where they get to experience God that will change everything about the way they look at their experience and even experience their experience. Today, we're going to call on the Lord to help us. Not just us, but to help the world who is under persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's begin as we pray together. God, today we come before you with hearts that are, well, first and foremost, because of the kinds of people that we are, fleshly, selfish, concerned about those things that are about us. And Lord, we do pray for our country. We pray that your will would be done, that your word would be spoken, that people would come to know you as their Savior in our country. Lord, we pray for people's decisions about who they vote for this coming Tuesday, that you would engage with them and us and help us to make wise decisions. But Lord, past that today, we also want to think about believers around the world who in this very moment are facing fear, insecurity, and harm and pain and suffering because they say they believe in you. Lord, we have it so simple, so easy. Freedom, yes, we love it. We're grateful for it. But Lord, so many places in this world don't have it. And so today, we're not praying that we don't fall into that kind of thing. We're praying for people who are already there, for strength, for comfort, for help. I pray, Lord, that all of us, me included in this room, would focus the next hour on you and your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could praying put you in danger? Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the 10 countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number 10, Afghanistan. The Taliban hunts for hidden networks of believers. Suspected Christians can be arrested, interrogated, and even killed. At number 9, Iran. House churches are seen as a threat to national security. Pastor Anushavan has started serving a 10-year prison sentence after 30 agents raided his home. Sudan is at number 8. In the chaos and conflict of civil war, Christians are especially vulnerable. Believers have been attacked, their property looted, and churches closed. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistani Christians are seen as second-class citizens. False accusations of blasphemy result in innocent believers facing mob violence. Christian girls continue to be abducted and forced to convert to Islam. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Pastor Zachariah came home one day to find his village attacked and his wife and son murdered by militants. Number 5, Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Saleh is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number 3 on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number 2, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number 1, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Jiho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's 1 in 7 Christians globally. And every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ. And with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
Opendoors.org. If you want a resource, that's probably one of the main things you can get information from. That's where we get all of ours, opendoors.org. 50 years ago, that top 10 list would have been almost exclusively filled with communist countries that were, because of their governmental decisions, because of their governmental operation, that was the choice. Now, only one of the top 10 are based on communism, but the rest are based on religious preference. And so today, we're going to spend a lot of time on 4 countries, only one of them, North Korea, that is a communist. The rest are based on a religion and religious strife and turmoil. And so today we begin with the number 10 country, Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a dangerous place to be a Christian. The Taliban are throughout and desire to wipe out Christianity. Only a small number of Christians are still there, all meeting in small groups and in homes, and a very dangerous place. I'd love for just a few of you to stand where you are and to pray out loud. So if you're kind of in the front, it'd be great if you turned around a little bit and faced as many of the people as you can. But maybe 3 or 4 of us will pray, and then we'll move on to the next section. But let's pray for people in Afghanistan right now who are struggling under persecution. Several of you lead out. Will you please? Now we'll jump to the top of the list, North Korea.
On the DMZ, right over across that snow.
Right behind me, right past the valley behind me, is actually North Korea. And it has been a powerful afternoon as we've been able to sit here and talk to some people who defected from North Korea. One of the phrases we heard was that North Korea is actually a very religious country. Yes. That they are taught to worship the leader.
Mm-hmm. 억울하게 총에 맞아 죽고 맞아 죽고 굶어 죽고 얼어 죽고 그냥 그렇게 죽어가는 사람들이 오늘도 지금 이 시간에도 일어나고 있어요.
They don't have enough food and they need hope.
99% of North Koreans have never read "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I think sometimes it's hard for us as Americans to really understand the need for Bibles in certain countries around the world. I mean, we have unlimited access to God's word, but there are places around the world where that's not the case, and North Korea is one of them. And I think that really hit home today when our partner showed me a handwritten copy of the entire book of Philippians by a North Korean.
This is what's been written in North Korea, underground church. Yeah. It's very dangerous what we are doing.
You said this is the book of Philippians?
Philippians.
Wow. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Very recently, we received a request. Normally, our connection in North Korea do not ask for food, but during the COVID, no jobs and no work and no food. North Korea, being a communist nation, everything's supposed to be shared and government's supposed to distribute, but that's not happening.
I don't think we paint the story of the situation accurately enough. The oppression, the persecution, the poverty in North Korea, it's the most persecuted country in the world.
It's just such a foreign concept. I agree with you, like the word persecuted Christian, I think maybe has lost a little bit of its punch because we really cannot even relate to what it means.
This isn't just having their feelings hurt at church. North Koreans are becoming believers knowing they're facing death.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
그러나 지금 북한을 위해서 정말 여러 가지 성경책과 정말 식량 뭐 이런 거 보내주신다면 정말 그 북한 사람들은 일단은 그 배고픔에서 해방 먹고 죽지는 않잖아요. 이 성경책이 들어감으로 해서 아무리 보위부가 그 막 핍박을 하고 막 통제를 하고 이래도 그거는 여전히 쭉 이어지는 것 같아요. 그 하나님 이게 전도하면서 어떤 사람은 걸려서 잡혀도 가지만 그 속에서 사람들이 머리를 깨우치고 그런 사람들이 점점 더 늘어나는 것 같더라고요.
Many of these new believers from North Korea, they live their Christian walk and their Christian life at such a higher level than Christians in the rest of the world that it really is difficult for us to comprehend their level of commitment and how much they love God and how much they're willing to risk.
There is a story of the underground church that I could talk about. When we brought food and a copy of the Bible over to the North Korea, the response from the underground believers, number one, they said, how'd you get this in? And number two, the tears in their eyes. I mean, you care enough to bring with all the dangers and all the difficulty, you brought this for me? The choice is given. Take the one bag of rice or a big, thick Bibles. Their hand goes to the Bible before the rice. Okay, why are they want the Bible? They want the rice very much. But if they have a choice, they take the Bible. Because they know the Bible gives them eternity. Whereas the rice, it be only been eaten for a very short period. So what we do, we give them a Bible as well as a rice, so they would have it both.
Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
So North Korea is the number one most persecuted country in the world for Christ followers. A couple of things. Being discovered as a Christian within North Korea means either end of life on the spot, or that you're sent to a work camp where you will be worked so hard that you can no longer sustain yourself, no longer sustain life for the believers. As well, a recent change within North Korea, there was often a hot spot with the border of North Korea and China. And in 2023, North Korea worked with China to really fortify that border, that at times you would have believers that would be able to escape through that border. Well, now that is much, much more difficult. It is very difficult to escape out of North Korea, as that was the one place that you potentially could. And so that has also changed. And then as you saw in the story, as well, there's a food shortage, and Kim Jong-un's regime has forced people to farm. And so they're being forced to work on these farms, and you would think, well, they're producing food for themselves, but it's not for them. It often goes to his regime, to the elite leaders within the country. So here are a few ways that we can pray for North Korea. Pray that the believers in prison for their faith will know God, his sustaining and loving presence, and will be with them at all times. Pray secret believers will be protected from the scrutiny of authorities as they meet together. Secret police try to invade their groups. And then pray that Kim Jong-un's regime will be more open to the help and the influence of the international community, as since COVID, they've really closed off their borders and still have not reopened to the extent of even allowing international aid in, which is some of the cause for this food shortage as well. Father, we come to you. And God, we pray for our brothers and our sisters in North Korea. Lord, we pray that as they sleep at this very moment, Lord, that they would be even encouraged in their dreams by you. Lord, that you would continue to give them the boldness by your Spirit to sow the seeds of the gospel, even at a great cost. Father, we pray your Spirit would continue to move amongst the country of North Korea, that hearts would turn to Jesus, that it would not be something that can be contained, but yet it would be something that just continues to multiply. Father, we pray that Bibles would enter into the country. Lord, you would provide a way and a path for the scripture to be shared. God, we pray for food just for these families that are physically hungry. Lord, that you would provide that. Father, pray that you would provide conversations where people, they sense this spiritual hunger within, but they don't know what it is, that the lost would come to see and have new life in Christ. Father, we pray for Kim Jong-un. We pray for his regime. We pray, Lord, you would soften his heart. Lord, that he would come to know Jesus. Lord, we know through you that all things are possible, even that. That we might look at a nation and see a change by the power of the gospel and say, but God. Father, we pray you would move and work. Pray you would give the believers there, Lord, just the supernatural capacity to remember scripture so that, Lord, in the moment of need, like, that, Lord, that it would be hidden in their heart and they would be able to recall it. Father, we pray that you would move. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, because in that name there is power.
Following Jesus in Yemen is extremely dangerous. Yemeni society is deeply Islamic, conservative, and tribal. So denouncing Islamic religion can lead to tribal punishment, including death or even banishment. Persecution is especially severe for Christians for Muslim backgrounds, as both Islamic and state laws forbid conversion from Islam. Christians must keep their faith secret to avoid societal pressures and severe threats such as arrest, family separation, or even death if their faith is discovered. Yemen's 10-year civil war has exacerbated the pressures on Christians. Limited relief, largely distributed through local Muslim groups and mosques, often discriminates against anyone not seen as devoutly Muslim. Christians, especially converts, face heightened risk in the northern areas controlled by Houthis, an armed rebel movement. There is dedicated intelligence units specifically tasked with identifying and tracking down individuals considered to have abandoned their faith. Christians in the southern rural areas are also particularly at risk due to the aggressive expansion of Al-Qaeda. If you'll join with me as we pray for Yemen. Heavenly Father, Almighty King and Sovereign God over all things, God, we come before you now on behalf of the believers in Yemen, asking for your strength and your protection on their lives as they live in such imminent danger, God. Lord, shield them from harm, especially those that face the threats of militant groups. God, fortify their hearts and their minds in your holy word, God. Deliver them from their fears and surround them with your peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we ask for wisdom and courage for those who have chosen to follow you in spite of their Muslim religion, God, that they've turned from that and they've chosen you. Lord, may they be filled with boldness and courage that only your Spirit can give. God, we ask that you would do what is impossible. What we think and see as impossible, God, we know that all things are possible through you and your mighty work. God, currently there is very few believers there in Yemen, God, but we know that you can rise up your church. Lord, that you can make yourself known. So, Lord, we ask that you would do that, that people would come to know you in droves, that people would be connected just by your Spirit and long to seek you and know you. God, we pray for Yemen as a country overall. God, that you'd break through in this land. They've endured so much strife and hardship, God, but you can overcome all of it. So we ask for your hand to bring upon peace, God. Let your Spirit be felt. We know that your word tells us that as we draw near to you, that you draw near to us, God. So we ask that your people would feel your presence in a mighty, mighty way, God. That you would empower them to do what you've called them to do, to stand firm, be strong, and courageous. God, we pray in confidence that you are doing a mighty work, God, because we know that you have already won the victory, God. So praise you, Almighty King Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise for what you have already done. In your name we pray these things. Amen.
See, on a hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that gave me life, grace flowing from his side. No greater sacrifice.
Let's declare this.
What he's done. What he's done. the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done.
Let's sing this together. Sing for the freedom He has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Yes, Lord. Speak, say the name above all names. Over every broken place, He is risen from the grave. Let's sing. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done.
Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory.
Sure is I praise God for what He's done. What He's done. What He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. Praise God for what He's done.
I praise God for what He's done.
Yeah, I praise God for what He's been doing this morning in the lives of believers around the world who are under suffering because of what we've been doing, praying. Thank you for entering into that work. Somebody asked me, what do you do with all this stuff afterwards, right? What do you do with all this information? What do you do with all this opportunity? And the only thing I could say is we just keep praying, right? So I'd urge you to just keep praying this week. Maybe a country. Maybe download opendoors.org and just check out what's going on in that whole thing. I would love for you right now, actually, to open your phone and to go to your email and to type my email address in, Doug C, D-O-U-G-C, at gcc.org, and just give me a one-sentence statement of what you felt about today, what you experienced today, maybe what God did in you today. I would love to have that. I'd love to share that with people, not personally your name, I'm not saying that, but that we could celebrate what God's done. We're going to finish today with this prayer from the Common Book of Prayer together out loud. Follow with me. Almighty God, who created us in your own image, grant us grace fearlessly to contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression, and that we may reverently use our freedom. Help us to employ it in the maintenance of justice in our communities and among the nations. To the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today.